hand-handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
This is a big one.
Now, this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
Now, I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to covering.
Big story of the day on this Wednesday afternoon, Caleb Williams. Now, we heard all these stories about Caleb Williams, and if he didn't like the team that he was going to go to, he would just go back another year, and he would play college football. He would play for USC for another year. He's making a lot of money. But there's another thing that came out. Caleb Williams, essentially, there were representatives, this report from July actually kind of resurfaced from Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio that claimed representatives of USC quarterback Caleb Williams had been making it known to prospective agents that Williams wants partial ownership of the team that selects him in 2024 if he declares for the draft. Well, first off, let me just say, you can't do that. That's illegal. As a player, you can't have any kind of ownership. Rodgers tried to do that with the Jets. That was shot down. Rodgers wanted that during negotiations with the New York Jets. The NFL shot it down. Caleb Williams, wow.
It's the reason why Brady can't just sign for a team and start playing, because he's a part owner
right,
of the Raiders.
For several reasons.
So if he was going to play, he'd have to get a majority vote to take away his ownership.
Yeah. But even if this was legal, a guy that hasn't played a down in the NFL yet is coming in wanting some kind of partial owner. It's already, again, John Elway, Eli Manning, those guys, great quarterbacks, borderline Hall of Fame for Eli, probably Hall of Fame in the real Hall of Fame, I get it. But they wanted trades and they wanted different teams. They weren't, Elway was going to go play for the Yankees if he wasn't ultimately picked up by the Broncos. Eli Manning was frustrated with his situation, ends up going to the Giants. It happens. But even then, it's a stretch for a quarterback to make that kind of demand or say, hey, if I don't like the team, I'm going to go back to school. Whatever. You got a year of eligibility. It's freedom. It's freedom. You can go do whatever you want. It's America. But now we're hearing a report that he wants a partial ownership of whatever team he goes to. This is out of control, man.
There are a lot of positives with NIL, but some of the negatives are that we have gone away from earning to entitlement.
And demanding entitlement,
and
sure.
That, I've been told I'll be the number one draft pick in 2 years. He was told that last year. And now he's going into this year knowing, I'm still number one quarterback. I could play next year and I could still be the number one quarterback. So if everyone else is saying that, that means everyone agrees that I'm the best quarterback. So that means I get my say, right? Because I'm the best quarterback. I'm the number one pick. I get to pick my team. I get to have an ownership rights with my team. Heck, I may even pick my coach.
Which that could happen. I could see a team that's going to draft him and they're thinking of like Chicago moving on from Eberflus or whatever. I could see Chicago saying, hey, we're going to take you. Is there any guy, we're interviewing these top 10 candidates. Is there anyone that sticks out to you? I could see that happening, sure. But it's still a little weird. And again, the idea that Caleb has that much money in NIL, which he does, gives him a lot of power to decide where he wants to go next year or just go back to USC. He does have that power. He has that freedom. We've seen it even before NIL took hold. But this takes the cake for me.
I think if you ask any athlete, one of their best qualities across sports is the ability to be humble, to have humility in yourself. And we've seen countless college football players just shine at the college football level. And then they get to the NFL and they get humbled quickly. Jerry Jeudy is a perfect example. A guy that has gotten to be humbled, and he hasn't really responded the right way. And it's about how you respond to that adversity that makes you who you are, in just a sports sense. There's no humility anymore. When you got drafted to the NFL, it was one of 32 teams took a chance on me. Not that they're spending money and they're investing in me. They took a chance that I might be their franchise guy. That's gone now. Because, no, I don't want to play for you. I'm going to go play for this team.
Yeah, there's a
I'm too good for you, NFL.
There's a portion of players now that view it as, no. You didn't take a chance on me. You got me. Now make it work. I'm here. You better make this work. And this is an extreme of that, where now he's saying, hey, wherever I go, not only am I going to be number one? You're going to cater to me and maybe even talk to me about a head coach. I want to be so big with your organization that I want to be a part of the ownership. I want to be a part of the decision-making process when you've never even played a down in the NFL.
You used to have to earn your team. Now, whether or not you're starting as a rookie or you're waiting a year on the bench, you had to earn that. You had to earn the title of a franchise guy. Now it's just, I'm going to walk in there and I'm just it. And I get it. Our mindset has changed on drafting quarterbacks now, where it's when you draft a guy, that's your guy. You have to make it work. But now these players are running with that, like, oh, they have to make it work for me. That's it.
I just think it's so arrogant for many reasons, but then to see the story take place with Aaron Rodgers, if Rodgers can't, if the NFL's saying it's illegal for a guy like Aaron Rodgers to be some kind of partial ownership with the team he's going to, then nobody, then obviously, this is never going to happen. So for you to think that is, again, I was on the fence of the whole Caleb Williams and, if I don't like it, I'm going back. Hey, you have that power because you do have another year of eligibility. But I was on the fence with that, whether I liked it or not. This is like, dude, it's got me having second thoughts about Caleb Williams altogether.
Well, understanding that, yes, he does have the power and he has the right to say this and act this way because of the way college football is formatted right now. Is it fair to ask, how much do you care about the game?
Or do you just want to get in and grow money and be an owner kind of deal down the road? I mean, do you want to come in and be the best quarterback and change the fate of a franchise for the next 10 years? Do you want to
Do you want the idea of that while also making the money because of that idea?
Does he have bust written all over him suddenly?
A little bit.
I don't know. I mean, he's good.
I think
they got
any
smoke
quarterback
last week, though.
That is, I think if we've learned anything from the Johnny Manziel, Baker Mayfield stories, it's that just because you're the number one overall pick or the number one overall quarterback, your story's not written in stone yet. You have to go make that story your own thing. Tom Brady was Mr. Irrelevant, and he became the greatest of all time.
Was he Mr. Irrelevant?
No, but...
But he was irrelevant.
Basically.
Yeah. I just think that teams now... And I'll be curious to see I'll be curious to see if Caleb Williams' team comes out and says, that wasn't what he said. Because this is... To me, this is... potentially damning. Like, it could drop your stock a little bit.
The best example I've seen in recent years of a young quarterback that was promoted as the guy out of college is Trevor Lawrence, and he has handled it perfectly.
Yeah, you want to get a guy that is an
he was told as a freshman, you're going to be the greatest thing in the NFL, you're going to be the next big guy, you're the next Andrew Luck, whatever, and he has handled that
here we are
humbly,
with
the
theme the
entire
of it
way.
Of You know, we're talking about Calvin Booth with the me guy. I mean, this is the definition of a me guy. This is a guy that's coming in saying, hey, if I don't like the team, I'm back to USC. Hey, whichever team picks me up, I want partial ownership. If I'm a franchise right now, I'm a little skittish about this. And this could potentially be the Broncos starting quarterback next year. And it would be another guy that comes in with you know, again, there could be worse baggage, but this would be baggage.
And would it be by choice, or that's just who fell to us? Our top two guys are off the board.
Depends if he likes Sean Payton enough. If he knows that the Broncos are tanking on purpose, then maybe he doesn't look at the franchises. I think they're tanking on purpose. I don't think they're as bad. I don't think they're a playoff team this year, but I don't think they're as bad as they've let on. I think they're tanking. I absolutely think they're tanking. Now, Sean Payton can say he lost track of downs when he just gift-wrapped 3 points to the Chiefs, but... Hey, 3 points here, 3 points there. Makes it a little more difficult for us to overcome and win a game. I think they are tanking. So does that change Caleb Williams going, oh, you guys aren't that bad of a franchise. You were just tanking to get me. Get that. I don't know. But if I'm a franchise, I'm having serious doubts right now that I want him as my next, you know, 7 to 10 year guy.
Is it interesting that we're not hearing this stuff about Michael Penix and Drake May and even Shador?
Well, Drake May's stock just went way up in my mind.
Drake May has been the quietest top five prospect I've ever seen. That guy just goes to work.
They're undefeated. He's thrown for 12 touchdowns already, 4 interceptions. He threw for 38 last year. He seems like this is where you got to be careful with your Denver, or if you're Denver, because what have I been saying about the Broncos for the last 5 years? What do they keep doing? They keep reaching. They keep getting a quarterback here, a coach here, a quarterback here, a coach here. And that is what bad organizations do. So if I'm evaluating this, and George Payton is supposed to be this great draft evaluator, I am seriously evaluating these quarterbacks going, who has the temperament to lead this team back? If that's where they end up going, if the Broncos end up doing that, we still don't know. I mean, Russ still might be the guy. But this is, you talk about Russ getting his own lot. He wants his own office. Caleb wants his own portion of the team. He wants to be your boss in some sense, which is not going to happen. But the fact that it's rumored that he wants that, who does this guy think he is? I mean,
he's the number one prospect, Brady. He's number one overall pick. He can say whatever he wants.
I think I'm staying away from him now.
He's Mr. NIL, Mr. California, Mr. I paint my nails.
He paints his nails?
He does.
Hmm.
He painted like FND
or
something.
Catchers, paint their nails.
For strategic purposes, yes.
Still paint their nails. B-Rad says, I feel like the only fit would be the Packers so he could join the other million owners. Yeah, but he couldn't do that.
No, can't do it.
Because he's playing. Say he is a part owner of the Broncos, gets a deal to gets dealt to Las Vegas. They play each other. NFL makes him sit for conflict of interest. Well, that's the thing. Like, it would never even get to that point because this is illegal. You can't do that. You can't play. I think there was a rumor that when Peyton Manning was playing for the Broncos, that the Broncos should, while he was playing, try to work out some deal to keep him in Denver. They can't even have a future conversation illegally. They can't even have a, hey, Manning, you and it's just me and you talking here off the record, right, Calvin? It's just you and me talking. When you retire, we want you to still be involved with the Broncos, and we want to make you a partial owner of this team. If that word ever got out that they even had those conversations while he played, the Broncos would be screwed. They would be in big trouble. So you can't even have those conversations when you know the guy's retiring in like 5 weeks or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think that this is wild to me. Eastside Chris, 7-year vet, would love to have a new partial boss with no NFL experience in the huddle. Yeah, I mean, again,
wait, I got to teach this kid?
There's 4 million reasons why this is not going to work. There's 4 million reasons why this is deemed illegal in the NFL's eyes. And if you don't like it, too bad. Roger Goodell makes the rules, and he just got a contract extension. So he's not going anywhere. He just signed a 3-year extension. And you know what? That's a good move if you're an NFL owner, because he makes you a lot of money. I don't know if it's a good move for everybody else, for like the fans. I don't really hate. I've disagreed with Goodell, but I mean, come on.
I think Goodell's got most of his controversy behind him at this point.
I think so.
With the suspension.
Although the gambling thing now is coming up. And
yeah,
that's
I think he's gotten ahead of that a little bit. But you know, the suspensions and the player conduct and the drug policies, all that stuff. That's all behind him. The goalpost, no celebrating stuff, the replay reviews. All yeah, he's had some blunders.
Yeah, he has.
Overall, he's doing better than he was 10 years ago.
But that's the thing, if you're an owner, yeah, he's had blunders, but the NFL's never been richer.
They got that Snyder guy out of here, so that's good.
Yeah, took care of that situation after 4 million years. I mean, he still has issues, but every commissioner's going to. Adam Silver was like high on my list for a while. Now he keeps like, I'm going to come in here and mess. We need an in-season tournament, and we need to do this with this and that. Well, oh, my gosh. I still don't even think, now that I'm like not there and I'm not in the play-in mode, I still don't even think I really like the play-in thing. I still don't know if I'm there.
It's
if it
tough,
were
like
more parity, then maybe. But
if it works, it works. But, you know, it shouldn't work, but the Heat made it to the finals last year.
Yeah, so they were a play-in team, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's the off chance that you're going to get something like that. But yeah, I agree on the mid-season tournament. It's
stupid.
Dumbest thing ever.
Yeah, at least.
And like, I see people on social media like, oh, this is going to be great. I can't wait for these games. I'm like, why are you excited for this?
They're just the same games. They're just called a tournament game instead.
Like, I strain myself trying to think, how would Nikola Jokic get himself motivated for the NBA Cup final?
If it doesn't count toward your record.
Right.
Because the final, right, does not count toward the record.
The final and the semifinals.
Yeah.
So there's at least one, possibly two games that wouldn't count towards your record.
I'm supposed to
get hurt in an NBA Cup game.
That has nothing to do with your record. It's silly. And this is why when they were going to make that big announcement about what the teams would get if you won, I thought, okay, well, the only way to make this work, and even then I'm not saying I agree with it, kind of like the All-Star game, is to actually have meaning in the season / playoffs, and that's not
the case.
There
is none. It's a little plastic dollar store trophy
and some money, and that's it for your
publicity,
team.
I guess.
Yeah,
you get to go to Vegas for a weekend.
That's stupid.
That's the one thing I want to do in the middle of my NBA season is, oh, let's go to Vegas for 3 days. Maybe we'll see Rodman or there.
Like, do you hang a banner for that?
God, I hope not. If you are celebrating an NBA Cup, no. You will be the joke of the league.
Yeah, you should not hang a banner.
No banners. There shouldn't even be an MVP for it. It shouldn't even exist because it's an irrelevant championship.
That's why Adam Silver's starting to like drop in my mind a little bit. I don't like this kind of stuff. He's handled a lot of the controversial things pretty well. The bubble was...
Which he could. That was kind of scripted for LA. But.
The bubble was weird. You kind of had to play by their rules. Their rules. The government. Ugh. You know, man. The man.
They know what's going on.
They had to play by the rules, even though it was so, so stupid. I talked about it yesterday.
We don't really need basketball, but oh, we got to have it. We got to finish the season. We got to let LeBron talk. We got to kneel down on the court. We got to do it.
We got to have everybody choosing what they want on the back of their jerseys.
Vote for Millsap.
Vote for Millsap. Michael Porter Jr.'s was stand up. And some people are like, oh, he's so brave, stand up. I'm like, maybe he's telling people to stop kneeling during the national
Mike
anthem.
Was public enemy number
Dude,
one
Mike
in the
was not about that stuff. And people thought when he put stand up, he just probably was like, I don't know,
like,
man.
I have to put something, I don't know.
Stand up. What was Andre Iguodala's? His was weird. His was the, oh, come on.
I remember Murray's was freedom.
Which we don't have that, apparently. Yes, we don't.
What a weird time.
What was Iguodala's? It was something economics. It was something about races just supporting each other's race. Is it group economics?
Yeah. Group economics.
So that the idea of that is you're just supporting. So if Andre Iguodala is a black man, his promotion is just if you're black, you should just support black businesses. If you're white, which again, if you would do that with a white guy, that would be a pretty bad look. That was a weird freaking time. The bubble, man. So, I mean, Adam Silver's got some knocks on him too, but Goodell makes money. They've added playoff games or playoff teams. They added another game to the season. So I think fans are happy with it. I think they're excited. He's been rolling. But Adam Silver's the one that's like, hey, we've already got a really good product. Let's make it weird. Let's make some weird things here.
Early prediction, who wins the NBA Cup?
Oh, God. Who's a good team that won't achieve greatness this year? Minnesota? Philadelphia?
I can think of one very particular team.
The Lakers?
Yeah.
I could see like Minnesota or Philadelphia. This is right up their alley.
Those are teams that would like relish in winning it. I think the Lakers would be like, LeBron James gets another championship to his resume. No, not really. But Philly and Minnesota would definitely
so
be the
teams
to celebrate.
So where does this count? Where does this count then? If you win the midseason cup, do we now say LeBron is a, what is he? Has he won four?
He'd be like a fifth championship.
He won one with the Lakers, two with the Heat, and one with the Cavs. So would they say this is his fifth title? Surely not.
I mean, you can't argue. It's NBA Cup champion, NBA Cup MVP. Like
this is, you have to say this is his fourth. He has four titles and one NBA Cup.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
Oh, he's better than Michael.
So stupid. And apparently
he's gonna pass Kobe.
Apparently this is a big deal in soccer, right? They have a midseason tournament.
Yes.
But
soccer also has like 17 different tournaments.
Soccer fan, tell me why this is fun for you.
Soccer fans, you have like the Premier League, and then you have the World Cup, that's a big deal, and then you have the Olympics, which is also a big deal.
I get those kind of things.
And then there's all these little tournaments in between and the regulation. I don't know whose league is who.
I don't get the regular season stuff where it's like, you've got the grand championship up here, and we're all working toward that goal, but we have a bunch of these little one-offs down the road. Now, I like winning championships leading to the Super Bowl. Like, you're a division champ. Mm-hmm. You won your division. You won the conference. Now you won the Super Bowl. Like, that makes sense because those wins lead you directly to the next one.
I think this is just America, and we want a winner, and we want a loser. Yeah. You can't have a winner and then, hey,
18
guy
other
had a winner.
We have that winner, but then again, this guy was the winner over here. Oh, but they won the, you know, whatever cup. And then they won this cup. It's a stupid, 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 stupid thing. So stupid. 25 minutes after the hour. Cables Pub and Grill. It is Wednesday, which means it's pizza day at Cables. Also, $3 pints and $7.99 personal pizzas, up to three toppings. Pizza is delicious there at Cable's Pub and Grill. That is where my friends meet. We'll take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Scores, interviews, and more. Preps Rewind with Mike Danson. Saturdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Jenny Kavanagh from AT&T Sports Tonight, your host for the Colorado Rockies. You're listening to the whole show on KFKA. Fire up the fountain.
Kane, Doolin, McQuinn Young Law Firm. Hey, they know we live on dangerous roads up here in Weld and Larimer County throughout northern Colorado. If you or a loved one have been injured in a car accident from a negligent driver, there's only one law firm to contact, and that is Kane, Doolin, McQuinn, and Young Law Firm. Check them out online at trialproven.com. Again, that's trialproven.com. Yeah, this idea now of Drake May starting to make me interested after this Caleb Williams thing. Like, to me, this is a big enough deal where I would consider staying away. Even though the ask is ridiculous, the NFL will not honor that. The fact that you're asking for that means what else are you going to ask for? You don't like your offensive line, so you're immediately going to go to the front office and get rid of this guy, get rid of that guy. You're going to want to play general manager for this Broncos team. So this is a big hit, in my opinion, to Caleb Williams. Will that change his draft stock? I don't know. Teams are so damn desperate to get that quarterback, but I think it's going to at least have everybody giving it a second thought or two when it was an easy pick beforehand.
Sure, and you know, college players, they don't do a ton of press outside of their NIL stuff or an exclusive interview. So I mean, this brings up concerns. What's this guy going to say in a press conference?
What's going to happen
when
you're
0-2? Practice? What's he going to say? Oh, my O-line's got to be better. I wish I had a better O-line. Kind of wish I had a better receiver to throw to.
When I watch Caleb Williams, though, Angel, I don't hear that kind of stuff. He seems like he's a pretty well-together guy, complimentary of his coaching staff and his team. And they got smoked last week, and I didn't hear a bunch of controversy surrounding USC. Like, it doesn't seem like him. That's why when you hear the two things that are standing against him, well, maybe now three, losing to Notre Dame like that. But number one and two was you wanted partial ownership. Not going to happen. You're also saying that if I don't like the team, I'll go back to college, which I'm still kind of in the middle on that.
I think he's in a weird spot where it's I'm being told I'm good enough to be in the NFL. I'm being told I'm good enough to be the number one guy and to be a franchise quarterback. I'm also being told that if I stay in college for another year, I could make lots of money. So it's kind of like he has his cake and he wants to eat it too. And the reality is going to crash down on him when he realizes, oh, you're not going to have a choice. And at some point, you're not going to have a choice where you're going.
Good quarterbacks tip in college that are that good typically do go. And I had texters on this. They typically go to bad teams. That's what they all have in common. You're going to start out with a train wreck of an organization, unless it's Indianapolis. And we know why they were so bad, because they had prepared their entire team to fit Peyton Manning. He goes down. They're awful. They get to midseason and they're like, yeah, might as well just tank because Manning's not going to be here next year. Not many organizations are like that, and I understand that, but you're typically going to a bad team. Next year might be the same. It might be a different team that you don't mind being bad with, because that's a team that you root for, you want to be a part of, you like the city, all that stuff.
What about Houston?
Yeah, but Houston's got their guy. So, no.
Man, I mean, they're showing that, yeah, we got a rookie quarterback, and we have what presumed was a bad team for a number of years.
Oh, you're talking about like
and
what they were
quickly,
able to do. Yeah.
Not like turned it around,
yeah,
but they're progressing faster than many have expected.
You can. They got a new coach and a new quarterback, and those two guys synced up. And if we're being honest here about Houston, they did what the Broncos should have done.
And I think that's more important than just drafting your quarterback. You have to have a GM and a coach that are on the same page.
They did what the Broncos should have done in the fact that they hired Nathaniel Hackett. They should have stayed with a young quarterback. Instead, you give him this old veteran, and I'm using that loosely with Russell Wilson. But what Houston did was, hey, we hired a new coach because we're getting ready to draft a new quarterback. Let's let them grow together and share each other's philosophies and then be there. It worked with Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes the other way, and that can work sometimes. But I think typically it's better if you have a veteran coach paired with a rookie-type quarterback as opposed to the other way around. But I could totally see bad teams get better quickly because they have the right man at in charge, which could be Chicago next year. Could be new coach, Caleb Williams. They go make a push. But there's a lot of variables with that. You might not have the right offensive line yet. You might not have the right weapons yet. It might be a year project or two.
Well, I just look at Houston and Carolina, two teams that were very similar in where they started, got 1-2 quarterbacks. Bryce is 0-6. The Texans are almost 500.
Yeah.
And that tells you everything you need to know about you got it. You have to find the right coach. You have to find the right GM that's on the same page so that when you do agree on a quarterback, you're all in.
Yeah, and the Broncos, again, have done all of this the opposite way. They hired George Payton before Sean Payton was there. It was John Elway. It was George Payton. They needed a coach. George Payton. They worked. George was there when Vic Fangio was there. You have an old school coach as your head coach, and George Payton is brought in to make decisions. Well, there's not much he can do. Okay, they move on from Vic. He goes and hires Hackett. Elway's gone. We're also bringing in a new ownership group. That's clunky. Let's go get Russell Wilson, too. That's clunky. And then when you fire Nathaniel Hackett, now you're going to go get Sean Payton, who many would argue is kind of competing with your own job as GM, and you're trying to make this thing work. You go spend a lot of money in the offseason on offensive linemen. Again, they just keep reaching, and now it feels like suddenly Caleb Williams would be a little bit of a reach.
It's like a chain reaction of George Payton's like, okay, well, let me get my guy. And then once he gets this guy, okay, my guy has to get his guy. And they haven't all been able to get their guy at the same time. Because now Payton wants his own guy.
And this is why, for better or worse, when John Elway was doing well in the years leading up to their Super Bowl win in Super Bowl 50, he was the guy. For better or worse, every decision was about him, his philosophy, how he wanted to do things. Now, it turns out it was Peyton Manning or bust for Denver, and the philosophy didn't really work out with Elway. He was more or less throwing darts and just getting the best player available for every step of the way. But first and foremost, if I'm an owner and I buy a team, I got to make sure there is one voice. There is one guy that is in charge, and that guy in charge better not mess around with Russell Wilson having an office and has his own personal quarterbacks coach. You can't have the old saying, too many chefs in the kitchen, man. You just can't do it. And the Broncos are now at that point. Caleb Williams, to me, seems like he'd just be another chef. He'd be another Russell Wilson type mentally, where he thinks he deserves all these extra things to set him apart from the rest of the team, which we just know that is not going to work in the NFL.
It's like when you're a senior in high school, you're at the top of the food chain, you're all of that, and then you go to college, first day as a freshman, and you realize, whoa, I'm in a way bigger pond right now. And I don't think Caleb Williams has had that realization yet.
Well, that's kind of the thing, and you'll love this,
and
Angel.
It's hard to get that when you're at USC and you're the number one guy.
It's kind of the thing where Shedeur Sanders is now doing the watch thing, and now you're seeing all these NFL players do it. The trouble I see with Shedeur Sanders is he's going to want to bring that Johnny Manziel, do the money thing. He's going to bring that to the NFL. And I don't know if everybody's going to take hold of that as they do in college. College allows a lot of that crap to happen.
No, and you'll see quarterbacks do that kind of stuff, but it's very much the team is encouraging him. When Josh Allen runs over a guy and he gets up flexing, the whole team is around him with him.
That's
when
different.
Patrick Mahomes starts flexing on the sidelines, it's like, yeah, Patrick, yeah, we're with you. If you see Shedeur do it on his own, it's, what are you doing, man?
Kind of his own thing. This is where you're
very much team oriented in the NFL.
I like a little attitude and flair. I do. I mean, but I also like guys that don't have that. Like Drake May doesn't seem to really be one of those. He flexes and does stuff like that, but he doesn't have a lot of his own catchphrases and his own little signals and things like that.
He's not a me guy.
He's not a me guy, and you can't have a me guy be quarterback. You just can't. And now that we're starting to break into this Caleb Williams thing and wondering what the future of Shedeur Sanders and all that looks like, you just wonder, are those things that are going... Again, Johnny Manziel, Baker Mayfield, who I don't think is as much of a me guy anymore, but it's too late. I just don't see it really. I mean, they're not bad right now, I guess, but they got smoked over the weekend. I just don't
Baker
see those kind of guys.
Big
yeah. And is it too late for him? Now he's humbled. Can he come back? Does he still have that skill set and all that? I guess we're going to see with Tampa Bay the rest of the way. But it is very difficult to be that superstar stud quarterback that everybody loves. And you're making, you got catchphrases. Johnny Manziel, before he even stepped onto an NFL field, was trademarking Johnny Football and all these different phrases. And I like NIL. I say this again for the millionth time. I just don't like what we're seeing with it. We're abusing it.
It's almost, you're giving these players too much personality. Not that like it's a bad thing, but over time and in excess, it can get to a point where it affects your draft stock.
They're becoming bigger than current NFL guys. Yeah. I mean, at one time this year, I'm going to say this and sound crazy, but at one time this year when the Buffs were, when they were 2-3-0, Shedeur Sanders might have been talked about just as much as Patrick Mahomes. Is that fair to say? I mean, The popularity in a short span, Shedeur Sanders was discussed more than Patrick Mahomes. And maybe that's because I'm in Colorado and we hear that more, but it just seemed like it. And Shedeur was certainly blowing the Broncos out of the water. The Buffs were the story. That's why I tweeted it out. The hype train came to a screeching halt. I just think now you have to be really careful if you're the Broncos. And I don't know. I mean, do you go with the safe? Is the safe bet, I'm saying safe, to not even mess with the quarterback this year? Regardless of how this thing turns. If you have, let's say the Broncos do have a number 1/2-3 pick. Because I think we know Caleb Williams is going number one still. Drake May is next. And the Broncos are probably right around top 2, 3, 4 status. So then it's Drake May out of North Carolina.
About a J.J. McCarthy out of Michigan.
Is he a projected first rounder?
He's a top 5 pick or top 5 quarterback. Quinn Ewers out of Texas. Guys that aren't, you know, overly flashy.
Who else is a guarantee first rounder of quarterbacks? We know Williams and we know Drake May are. Is Penix up there? Is he a guaranteed first rounder?
He's rising, but he's not there. I'd put Bo Nix kind of in there as well. Rising.
And I like Bo Nix, but I don't. He's got an edge, but it's not over the top, maybe?
He's a very Mac Jones quarterback.
Is he really? That's where you would go with him on that?
That would be my comparison.
Ah, he can move better than Mac Jones, though.
He can. But Mac Jones is pretty good in college.
Did Mac run?
A little bit. He could move. He could use his legs. Jordan Travis from Florida State. Riley Leonard from Duke. You want to take a Daniel Jones shot in the dark there?
I don't want to take any shots in the dark. If I'm taking a quarterback, again, physical-wise, we got a break. I'm taking Caleb Williams or Drake May. I'm not taking a shot in the dark if I'm going to have to eat all that money to get rid of Russ. I'm not doing that. Caleb Williams, though, might be a stretch. Suddenly, I don't know. 43 minutes after the hour, let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hey, this is Sean Keeler of the Denver Post. You're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Now I'm starting to think, Angel, like, do you go for a quarterback in this? It's going to be, there's two guys you're probably going to have a chance for if you keep going down this certain path. Is that a foregone conclusion that the Broncos are going to draft a quarterback at number one? Let me just say this. I know you're a Dolphins fan, but put your Broncos GM hat on. You tank. You're the worst team in the NFL. Caleb Williams is up. You have the first pick in the 2024 NFL draft. Are you taking Caleb Williams?
Knowing where the organization is at, knowing my job is on the line with this pick, no.
Then what are you doing with it?
I'm building my team.
Are you trading that back, knowing someone will give you something because they want Caleb Williams? Are you using that and taking Marvin Harrison to ensure that he, because he's a stud wide receiver, and as we know, the Broncos are not, they have depth kind of, but not really, and nobody's really standing out top. Marvin Harrison Jr. probably is a guy that translates. 6'4", 205-pound receiver out of Ohio State. Are you taking him at number one?
As the GM, if I'm confident in my ability to scout and develop players that I can get, you know, couple of first, couple of seconds, and maybe a third. If they give me those five players, I can make good picks with them, and we can develop those five.
So you're going to take your first-round pick and trade it? Or your first pick overall and trade it?
Trade it.
Trade it back, stay in the top 10?
Give me a top 10, and then
a second-rounder, because you don't have one.
Early 20s.
Oh, so two first-rounders.
I'm trying to get as many picks as I can. If I can get five picks in the first three rounds, we're good.
Give me two first-rounders for my number one overall pick. I could see that happening. That's happened before.
Mm-hmm. I will drop 6th and 7th round picks in a heartbeat.
Well, they don't have a second rounder either, and that concerns me. So yeah. If I'm Denver, I'm definitely saying, okay, if you can't give me two first round picks, I want top 10.
First and second.
I'm only going to deal with the top 10, and I'll give you my first overall pick. I really want another first rounder, but if I can't get that from anybody else and one of the top 10 teams in that mix already, then you got to give me a second rounder, because that's where they're hurting too.
Mm-hmm. I think, you know, first round, yeah, those are your star players. The players that are going to become core pieces and developmental parts of your team are in the second and third round.
So who are you taking in top 10 then? Here, let me just give you some ideas. I'll give you five guys. Obviously, Marvin Harrison, probably, if you trade enough out, let's say you trade that first round pick, you end up at 9. You're not getting Marvin Harrison. Mm-hmm. Drake May's gone too. Your boy out of Alabama, Kool-Aid McKinstry, I take him just because of the name. But you're not drafting another corner.
No.
Broncos country would be pissed. Whether you do it because you still have Patrick Surtain or not, they're going to think that's a wasted pick. Although I kind of like the idea of having two shutdown corners, but you got to pay him. You got a tackle out of Penn State, Fashanu. You got Dallas Turner, the edge rusher out of Bama. You got Joe Alt, the tackle out of Notre Dame. You got Jared Verse, the edge rusher out of Florida State. Brock Bowers, tight end out of Georgia. And then let's give you one more for good measure. You got another tackle out of Alabama and Latham. You taking a tackle, a tight end, an edge rusher, or a defensive back?
I'm going to go edge rusher. I like the guy from Florida State.
So you pair him with Nick Benito?
Mm-hmm.
Don't hate it. Maybe you're lucky and you get two first-rounders there, and you can look at another weapon on offense, like
if
a
Neighbors out
of LSU. If
I have two first-rounders, my first pick is going to be defensive, because that is the side of the ball I need to see improvement.
You wouldn't want to give a weapon to Russ?
Not yet. I can find a good. I can find a starting receiver in the second round.
That's the thing. That's why I think you trade that first-round pick. You'd see if you can move and get two, like you said, see if you can get two first-rounders, potentially work out a deal. Because there's going to be – we got to take a look at this in the next segment. How many – because there are two – there's a couple of teams that are going to have multiple picks in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
So let's look at those coming up next. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
You want high school football? You've come to the right place. High school football on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey Nuggets fans, this is Coach Bowen of the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
There's not many teams, Angel, this year that are going to, unless things change with trades, there's not many teams with multiple first-rounders. Chicago, the way it sets right now, get this, dude, they have Carolina's pick because they traded for that last year. So as it sits right now, Chicago has the first and second pick. Do you go Caleb Williams, Marvin Harrison Jr.? That would be interesting. But if I'm Denver, the only way this could really work to stay in the top 10 and still get another first rounder is you're calling Arizona. Arizona could be a player for Caleb Williams. Is you're calling Arizona and you're saying, I'll give you number one. Let's assume Denver's number one. Let's just assume. They got work to do. They're 1-5. Carolina's 0-6. But let's assume they're number one. I'll give you Caleb Williams, but I want your fourth pick. Assuming Arizona stays there, and I want the pick that you got from Houston at 13. You're going to give me 4 and 13 for Caleb Williams, change your franchise.
I think there's another option here. And instead of trading around that first pick, you trade a player and you get your own pick to manipulate.
So you trade Patrick Surtain to get another first rounder.
Mm-hmm.
So now you got two first rounders.
There you go. And then you take your first rounder that's in the top five somewhere and you move that around for some more picks. Maybe you get another late first and another second. manipulation.
I'm good with trading Patrick Surtain, even though I love him, and my four pillars goes to dust, Angel. But I'm tired of being sucky. I'm a four pillars guy. Two good corners, two good edge rushers. Everything in between figures it out. But it ain't working. And it Denver hasn't had that since they had the no-fly zone with Tlaib and Chris Harris, DeMarcus Ware, and Von Miller. They had it, but haven't been able to really get it since. Boy, that's interesting. Because you're at three right now. Patrick Surtain is a first rounder. Who's going to give? You're going to get. Who's willing to give you a first rounder for Patrick Surtain? Is that that's a contender though, right? You're not getting a crap fest team giving you a first rounder for Surtain.
No, like a Dallas.
It's going to be a whoever's hurting right now. It's going to be a 20
I could
plus.
See Detroit making a move like that.
Rams.
Yeah. Teams that are like kind of just on the verge a little bit.
Need one more piece. I don't, again, this is without looking at some of the depth charts. Like, who needs a number one corner right now? And Rams came to my mind because their boy went to Miami.
And he is back today.
Is he back today?
He's back today.
Well, that was fast.
I know, right?
That's the thing. Who's a cornerback away from completing their defense this year? Is that Baltimore? Is that Detroit? Is it Jacksonville? Mm-hmm. Is it Dallas? Maybe you're.
I'm looking at NFC teams because I know AFC is not your first choice when you're trading somebody. You don't want to go someone in conference.
Well, who's Dallas starting? Oh, they've got Diggs, right?
They lost Diggs.
Diggs is out.
Hurt.
Yeah. Who's their starting corner? Again, that's where you'd have to start. That's where you'd have to start going with this. Is who needs a number one corner, and do they think that number one corner can get them over the hump?
If Stephon Gilmore
Gilmore made that pick too. Even though he had the PI call early, he made the pick to save the game. Mm-hmm. Could you pair? See, that's a scary defense. You got Micah Parsons, you got Gilmore at corner, and then you got your other corner, Patrick Surtain. Are you willing
Lee
to
Cooker
give up
at safety too?
Yeah, there's a defense right there. That's an interesting one. I don't know if they're going to be sellers. If the Broncos are actually going to do it though, that's a. That might be a poll question tomorrow. Should the Broncos trade Patrick Surtain? They'd get a first rounder for him. He is first round. And if you're Dallas and you're Jerry Jones, you want to win the Super Bowl. Every year, you're wasting time. Jones doesn't have a lot of that. So he wants to see a Super Bowl. You pair Patrick Surtain with Gilmore? Dallas is something else. 12:57 the time. Final hour. We got Cody Tucker joining us a little bit later on from 7220sports.com. Wyoming's off this weekend, but still got to feel pretty good about themselves so far, even though they lost to Air Force. Final hour of the show coming up next.